going to talk to you today about Sarah, a princess with a promise. A princess with a promise here. In Genesis chapter number 17, I'll begin reading us a couple verses here in verse 15 down through verse 19. Genesis 17, verses 15 through 19 here will get us going here this morning. Genesis 17, verse number 15 says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." We're going to talk about Sarah, a princess with a promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you. And I do come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I do pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Spirit here today. I pray you use me. I pray you give me your words and your clarity of thought. And give me your direction and wisdom here as well, Lord. And I pray you do what only you can do. And that's to speak to the hearts here today. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today or even over the internet that needs to be born again. That needs to come to Jesus Christ for salvation here today. Lord, I pray today is that day. Lord, I pray you speak to them, convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. And Lord, I just pray you have your will and way, and we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, somebody said that a child is carried in a mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody doesn't know that a child is carried in his mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said you can't love the 5th child as much as you love the 1st. Somebody doesn't have 5 children. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heart. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves the home. Well, somebody never had grandchildren. And one more here. Somebody said that your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother, right? Happy Mother's Day to everybody. And now as we get in our text here, we looked at our text and we're looking here at Sarah. Sarah's a princess with a promise. And we saw in our text that she was originally named Sarah. She was the wife and half-sister of Abraham. And she is known as the mother of the Jewish nation. Even though she was unable to have children for most of her life, God promised that she would have a son. And at her in her ripe old age of 90 years old, she miraculously gave birth to Isaac, just as God had said she would. But before that, she had given her maid Hagar to Abraham to have a child, which led to the birth of Ishmael. Now, Sarah is remembered for her faith, even though sometimes she doubted. Okay? But her story shows that God always keeps His promises. Always, always, always keeps His promises, even when we think it's impossible. So they were looking here at Sarah. And I'm giving you a few truths here today. Number one, I want you to see Sarah's identity. Sarah's identity here in Genesis chapter 15, or Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16 says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. God greatly honored Sarah. The Bible says here, she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Sarah was not a side note to Abraham's story. She was right there along with them. She was personally named and personally chosen by God. That promise of that son wasn't just for Abraham alone. It included Sarah as well. You see, God blessed and God honored the role of marriage. He honored that covenant of marriage. And to every mother here today, God sees more in you than what the world sees. You're not just raising children. You are raising kings and queens and future leaders and ambassadors for Christ. Okay? Too many mothers today are made to feel like their role is secondary. Right? You say you're a mother, you're a stay-at-home mother, you take care of the kids, whatever the case might be, and the world is going to want to look down at that. But God doesn't see it that way. God does not see it that way. He gave Sarah a divine calling, and He gives us that same calling. Moms, He gives you that same calling, that same responsibility. In Proverbs 31, verse 28, the Bible says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. You see, God doesn't just call you mom. He calls you blessed. Blessed. Chosen. A vital point, a point to God's plan. Every single mother is uniquely chosen for her God-given calling in the family. Notice here in our text that God changed her name. Sarai has a meaning. It carries a meaning of contentious. It carries a meaning of hard to get along with. But Sarah means princess. Princess. And this pictures salvation as well. No longer is she contentious. No longer is she rebellious. No longer does she have a temperamental spirit. But she has taken on a new way of life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, that's salvation. That's when you get born again. That's when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. When a person, when a mom gets saved, her name changes from sinner to saint, from lost to saved, from contentious to princess. So let me ask you, mothers here today, has there been a name change? Has your name changed? Do you have a new name written down in glory? Abraham was to look upon Sarah as a princess. And you know what? He was to treat her like one as well. That goes along with us here today. Every husband should treat his wife with respect and love. And we should treat her like the princess. A Christian wife, you know, that is a promise of God. And she has the promises of God at her disposal. She could bring those promises of God into the house, right? Into your life. Hey, men, you want to get a renewed experience in your life? You want to have revival in your home, in your life? Maybe we need to change how we treat our wives. Maybe we need to reevaluate the relationship there that we have with our wife. Maybe we need to get a renewed love for our wives. A renewed respect for our wife. Maybe we need to treat her as the princess of the home. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see, that love we're talking about here is the very love of God himself. It's an agape love. It's a giving love. It is a sacrificial love. And that's the kind of love that we are to give on our wives there, husbands. And so we see, first of all, we see here Sarah's identity as a princess. But secondly, we'll see here Sarah's barrenness. If you look there in Genesis chapter 16, Look there in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. You see, Sarah was a beautiful woman, but she was barren. She couldn't have kids, and it was considered shameful in those days for a woman not to be able to bear children. And in the eyes of the people, children were a sign of God's blessing. Right? God's blessing were upon you if you were able to have children. Whereas being childless was a sign of dishonor and reproach. In Genesis 18, verse number 12, Sarah, God overhears the prophecy that she's going to have a child, and she laughs. She laughs at it, but even though she laughs at it, she overheard the promise, and she still took matters into her own hands here with her handmaid Hagar. But God didn't quit on her. God didn't say, "Oh, you jumped the gun." No, He didn't quit on her. He didn't leave her. He was still faithful to her. He was not finished with her. So how does that relate to us? How many times do we try to get ahead of God? How many times do we step out in front of God and we try to do things on our own way and we try to do things in our own plan? How often do we doubt God's perfect timing? How often do we doubt God's methods? Sarah's mistake with Hagar didn't nullify God's plan. God still had a plan. God still had a will, but it did cause pain. It did cause delay. You see, when we get out in front of God, it will cause chaos in our life. It will alter the plan. God still has a plan and a will, but when we try to take that into our own hands, there's going to be consequences to it. You see, God had still promised Abraham and Sarah a son. A son that by the entire human race would be blessed. And her patience put a hindrance in that. But now how many times are we like Sarah? We see the promises of God. We read our Bible. We hear the preaching of the Word. We hear what God says and we see those promises of God. Yet we lack the faith. You see, we lack the faith to trust and depend God, to give it to the Lord. We trusted Him for salvation, but that's all we want to trust Him with. We don't want to trust Him with our life. We don't want to trust Him with His will. We want to do my will. And so we get out in front of God, you know, and the prayer is, "Lord, increase my faith." Right? The disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith," right? Our unbelief. Our lack of faith is going to affect more than just yourself, mothers, fathers, children. It's going to affect more than us. There are other people around us. Sarah's impatience here brought pain and suffering to all that were around her. And when we get in front of God and we make decisions without seeking the Lord's will, without seeking guidance, there's going to be consequences to that. We need to seek God's will. What is God's will for my life? It's all right here. It's all in the Word. It's all in the book. Hey, who am I to marry? It's in the book. Where am I to go? What am I to do in life? It's all in the book right here. Lord, increase my faith. But here's the key. You got to be patient and wait. You got to be patient and wait. When I was going around to churches and preaching before we came. And you know, I think it was a year ago today, Mother's Day, we were here. And that was when we did the official thing, you know, the voting thing and all that. But anyways, it's been a year already. But anyways, I was going around preaching and trying to find the Lord's will, you know, and I'm like, all right, this one's got to be it. This one's got to be it, you know, and then, no, that's not it. That's not it. And so we keep going and we keep going. And then the Lord eventually led us here. And we just knew that this was the Lord's will for us. And 1 year later, I know for sure I'm right in the Lord's will, right where I'm going to be. Are right where I need to be. But I also know that I had to go through a lot because I wanted to be two steps out in front. I wanted to, hey, right? And the Lord constantly brought me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, He constantly brought me here. And in verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. So the message to you here today may be, wait on the Lord. He says, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see, we got to learn to trust in the Lord and wait on Him. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You got to wait on the Lord. In Psalm 37, 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 62, 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. You see, His way and His will is so much better than we could imagine for ourselves. If we could just learn to trust Him, whatever it is we're going through, trust the promises of God. You know God never breaks His promise. He's never broken a single promise in His Word. You know what He will break? And I've learned this too. He will break your pride. He will break your pride. Whatever it takes, you know, He will break your pride. He's not breaking His promises, but pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, He allowed Sarah to wait, not because He forgot, but because He was preparing her for something special, something better. Waiting is hard. I know it. It's hard. It's hard to wait. But it's kind of like that mothers you might know, you're praying year after year for that prodigal son to return. And you're praying and you're praying, and it seems like those years are, they've been wasted, but God's delays are never empty. Every tear, every prayer, it's an investment. And you don't quit. You keep going. Sarah's wait gave birth to the covenant nation. If you would, look in Genesis chapter 18. And look there at verse number 12. I mentioned this a minute ago, but Genesis 18 and verse number 12 says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also... You see, Sarah waited some 25 years for that promise before giving birth to Isaac. And that's a long time, isn't it? That is a long time. Let me ask you this. How long have you been praying for whatever it is you're going through? Whatever need you have. How long have you been praying? Are you praying faithfully for it? Have you quit praying for it? We got to stay faithful. You got to stay faithful. The wait is going to be long. In Sarah's wait, she struggled. She struggled with doubt. She laughed at God's promises, but God wasn't finished with her. Look there in verse 14. It says, there is anything too hard for the Lord. Do we doubt the Lord? Do we doubt Him? Lord, I've been praying for this for 6 months. Lord, I've been praying for this for 6 days. Lord, I've been praying for this for 6 hours. Whatever the case might be, do we doubt the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it? Nothing. Nothing is. He said, at the time appointed. You get that? You might want to underline that. At the time appointed. You see, it's in God's time. It's in His timing, not my timing, not our timing. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That means it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, there may be some today here that feels barren. And not physically barren, but maybe spiritually barren. Maybe emotionally barren. Yeah, you prayed for that child to come back to Christ. You have prayed for a healing. You have prayed for that peace of God to come into your life, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been seeking, and you be seeking. We need to look at this story today and take heed to this story here, because God is never too late. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for God, but it's all appointed by His timing. God is always on time, every time. Sarah is like you and me. We're not perfect. She wasn't perfect. She doubted. She did things she shouldn't have done. She acted rashly with Hagar. But God still honored her. God still protected her. And God still chose her to be the mother of Isaac, the son of the promise. You see, no matter what it is we're going through, no matter where you are in your life, no matter where you are spiritually, no matter where you are as far as what you do in this world, your job, no matter any of those things, whatever it is, wherever God has you at right now, you know what God wants from you today? He wants your worship, but he wants you to glorify Him. He wants you to glorify Him in whatever you do, wherever you go, everything you do. He wants to get glory through you. Whatever that is, whatever that looks like, He is going to seek to get glory out of you. Revelation 4:11. The Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's why you are created. That's why we were created. That's why we're here today, because God wants to get the glory out of our life. Are we giving it to Him? Are we three steps in front of Him? Or are we glorifying Him through our life and through everything that we do? Our decisions. Do our decisions glorify Him? Do our choices. You know, we all make choices. Every single day, life is filled with choices. You all made a choice to come here today. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But now tomorrow's going to come and Tuesday's going to come, and you're going to be with a list and a whole bunch of different choices in your life. And you're going to just go through these choices and make these choices. But I'm asking, when you make these choices, are you glorifying God? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking Him through prayer and through His Word? Are you glorifying? That's what He wants. The things that we do, the places we go, the things that we say, everything we do is also that God will get the glory. Sarah's barren. Why? So God would get the glory. So she could learn to put her faith and trust in the Lord and trust Him and not trust the flesh and this in our minds and our thoughts, but to trust God, to trust Him. Everything we do is for His glory. Number three, we'll move on here. I want you to see Sarah's faith. If you would, now we're going to be coming back to Genesis, so you can either hold your place here or whatnot, but turn over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, we know, is the chapter of faith, right? The hall of faith, whatever we might want to call it. But Sarah's in here listed because of her faith. Because of her faith. And so a couple of verses here, Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. We see here Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith, right there. That's the key. That's the key to us reading about her today. That's the key to her being put in the Scriptures, through faith. Right? So can our life be described by that? Everything that we do is through faith. Through faith in the Lord. Now you can have faith in a whole different bunch of things, but we got to put our faith in the right place. Do we have faith in the Lord in all that we do? He says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God is faithful in all things. Just because we may not agree with it, just because we may not agree with the processes or the outcome, doesn't mean God's not faithful. God is faithful all the time, just like He promised. Verse 12 says, therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Sarah's in the chapter 11 faith chapter because she believed God. She believed God, and she is an example for us to believe God, to put our faith in God, when things look like they're impossible. When everything looks like I'm defeated and I just need to throw the towel in. Matthew 19:26, Jesus said this, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, with God, hey, I might be the minority, but with God, I'm the majority. He's all I need. With men, hey, this looks like I'll be defeated. This looks like it's a no-win cause. But with God, nothing is impossible with God. And Sarah believed that. She believed the impossible. And you know what happened? Get this. She saw God do the impossible. Because she had the faith, she believed God, and she was able to see God work in the impossible ways. Because God cannot lie. God does not lie. His word is true. He does not deceive us. Look, if He wanted to deceive us and keep us lost, all He had to do was not give us the word. He gave us His word, and He preserved it right here in the King James Bible for us here today so we could know Him, so we could understand Him, so that we could believe on Him. But every single one of His promises have been fulfilled. Now, we can go and we look at Israel. We can look at Israel. Israel exists today because Sarah believed the impossible promise of God. And we can look at believers all around the world today, those that are truly born again, that profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. They exist today. Why? Because Sarah believed the impossible promise of God. Now let's flip back to Genesis. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to show you this here. This is amazing right here. Genesis chapter 1, or Genesis chapter 21, in verse number 1. We see the promises of God fulfilled right here. In Genesis 21, look there in verse number 1, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken." You see the promises of God fulfilled right there. Just as He said He would, just like He spoke He would. Verse 2 says, "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time, of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him." In verse 5, "And Abraham was 100 years old. He's an old guy, huh? 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." So what is the significance of Sarah? What is the significance of Abraham? What is the significance of this child being born, this child Isaac? I got to show you. So flip over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We talk about a princess with a promise right here. Matthew chapter number 1. You have the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1 talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And look here at verse number 1. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1 says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Verse 2 says, "Abraham begat Isaac." You see, that child Isaac is in the direct descendant line. He is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You go on and read all the way down the rest of that chapter. It goes into the birth of Jesus Christ. You see, the promise of the Savior, the promise of the Messiah. God's promises are going to happen. God's promises will come true. We see the princess with the promise right here. Now, mothers go through things in life, and what you go through requires strength. We see here how Sarah trusted in the Lord. She needed strength, not just physical strength, but emotional strength and spiritual strength. And that strength doesn't come from the world. That strength comes from trusting in the Lord. And that's what Sarah did. She trusted in the one that made that promise. And through faith, God gave her the strength. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." You see, Sarah didn't just bear a child. She bore a nation. She bore the future descendant of Jesus Christ in that line of genealogy of Christ. Corrie ten Boom said this. She says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." And I got one more here for you. I want you to see, lastly, Sarah's legacy. Sarah's legacy. If you could turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, I want you to see here Sarah's legacy. And then look here at just two verses. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy woman also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as we do well and are not afraid with any amazement." You see, every mother here is building a legacy. Sarah built a legacy. And it's not about how perfect we do it. None of us are perfect. It's about how faithful we are. How faithful we are to the Savior. How obedient we are to the one who died for me. Sarah didn't just raise a son. She became the mother of nations. What legacy are you leaving behind? What legacy are we leaving behind? Are we raising children in the spirit, or are we raising them in the flesh? Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Sarah's legacy, we read it in the Old Testament, we read it in the New Testament. Her legacy was built upon faith. We read Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and we see that Timothy's faith came from his mother and his grandmother. What legacy are we giving our children? But not only our children, what about our grandchildren? What kind of legacy are we leaving them? What will our grandchildren inherit from us? Will they inherit money, or will they inherit a mantle of faith? A mantle of faith. What are we passing on? Let me tell you this, it all starts with salvation. Taking our kids, teaching our kids how to get to heaven. How to have faith. You see, you got to have faith to get saved. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So you got to take your kids to a good Bible preaching church where they preach the Bible. And when you do that, they are going to learn the Bible. They're going to learn that God is holy. They're going to learn that because of God's holiness, there's a judgment to be paid. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, sin has separated you and I from a holy, righteous God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we've earned, what we deserve is just death. It's just death. We don't deserve a good life. We don't deserve a happy life. What we deserve is hell. The wages of sin is death. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God loves you so much. He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary to bridge that gap from heaven to hell. To bridge that gap for you and for me. You see, when we die, we take our last breath here, we go out into eternity. And there's no such thing as coming back. There's no such thing as purgatory. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Heaven or hell awaits. God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why He sent His Son to die on that cross. He shed His blood. He died on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. He was buried, and the great thing of it is that He rose again the third day. That's salvation. He is a risen Savior. He rose from the dead, and He is the propitiation for our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You come to Jesus Christ right now, today, He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you a home in heaven, and He'll give you forgiveness of sins, and the promises go on and on and on and on again. But you see, you leave here today lost in your sins, saying, "I'll do that later," or, "No, I don't believe that stuff." You go out of here today, you're not guaranteed another moment. This old heart, it stops a ticking, you go out into eternity. We had a baptism here on Sunday. She went off into eternity Thursday. She went off into eternity on Thursday. We don't know when we take our last breath. We do not know. And so the call is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Listen, Jesus is the only way any of us will get to heaven. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you got to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says like this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God brought you here today, and He's giving you a free gift. The gift is right here. All you got to do is receive it. You can receive it, but you can also reject it. The choice is us. The choice is yours. But what does that look like, preacher? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 gives us an explanation of what it looks like. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 is a glorious verse as well. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So friend, I ask you, have you called on the Lord to save you? Has there been a time and a place where you know you've called on the Lord to save you and you know you're going to heaven when you die? If not, today could be the day. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Hey, you could come forward and tell me, I want to know how to be saved. And we can take the Bible and show you how to be saved from God's Word. Because it's not the church that'll take you there. It's not me that'll take you there. It's not any of us that can take you there. But we can direct you to the one who can. Jesus paid it all on that cross when He died for you. He died in your place. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Sarah was the princess with a promise. She trusted the Lord. Let that be our testimony as we go out through our days and our life and live our life for the Lord. Let that be a testimony to us. Just trust the Lord. His ways are perfect every time. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Let's pray.